From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the second day of May 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. A bit later in the program, Emerson Nafziger, Extension Agronomist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, will join us to discuss a yield impact of what looks like it will be a very late planting season for corn, for soybeans as well, and what producers might want to do about that anhydrous ammonium or nitrogen application that they've not done yet for this season. We'll also take up the cash grain market with Matt Bennett at agmarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois, and look at the weather forecast too. That with Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, all on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at what happened in Chicago for the afternoon. Hey, good afternoon to you, Dan. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd.
Well, let's start with the month of April and the monthly charts to get an idea in the bigger picture where we stand, in particular for corn and soybeans. What do you find there?
Well, let's start off with corn to start with. Since we had the reversal a week ago when I talked to you, we had a little daily reversal. That was during the end of March. And then that followed through on Friday, and then we had kind of a soft day on Monday, the last day of, I think, of April or so. And then we kind of had another reversal there on Tuesday, and then I had a nice follow through yesterday, and now today we did gain a little bit on that. So on corn, since the strength actually began in March, and then we flipped over into April, we have basically what we have is an inside month. We don't have any monthly reversal up in the works. We did have that daily reversal up, but we failed to make it into a weekly higher finish. But when you look at the daily chart, we have returned back about 50% of the move that we lost prior to that little rally that we had before that March 30th report came out. So we are now at a resistance point on corn, at least on the short-term point of view. And I would say that both December corn and May or July corn, July futures on corn, today's closes are probably going to be a temporarily hard spot. If we're able to muster strength here tomorrow or Monday to plow through those levels, then that would open up the gates in for us to go back to those price levels that we had prior to that March 30th report. Actually, in fact, yeah, when you look at it, these corn here is above the closing price it had on that March 30th report or March 29th report. So on a quarterly chart basis, I guess we could probably say that we maybe have a quarterly reversal to the upside in the makings since the April low took out that March low. So we're inside month. I mean, when you look at the big long-term chart, lead futures chart, we're basically just sitting a few cents above the price levels that we had back in 2010. So things don't look pretty when you look at it on a long-term chart. But like I said, the most optimistic spin I could probably give you today is that we do have a quarterly reversal maybe in the works since we did make new lows in April, and now we've come back to the price levels that we closed out the month of March with. If we're able to extend those advances all the way into the June 30th timeframe, then we would have a monthly or a quarterly reversal to the upside, and that would imply that we had a major cycle low in place if that would occur. But we've got a long ways to go before we get there. But at least technically, you could visualize a pretty important low in place. And I think, you know, we've talked about this some time over the last couple of years, is that corn normally has, or we normally have, short crops roughly every 5 to 7 years. And the last time we had a real short crop was 2012, and we are 7 years out from that window. So we are in the outer band of a time window that we should have a short crop. And at least as we look at things right today, it looks like we are on course to have a short crop. Now, how short that crop is yet to be determined, because we haven't reached those critical pivot points that we've seen in past years when the market absolutely begins to panic on planting delays, or how the crop looks like roughly on about May 20th.
I'm sorry, the CME group is comprised of folks that look forward. When do you think that they will recognize that May 20 timeframe?
Well, you can only look at what is done in the past, and May 20th is usually the time frame when the trade actually really takes any kind of planting weather adversity serious, whether it was too dry in 1988 or whether it was too wet in 1993. Actually, 93, they didn't really worry about it until you kind of got into June. And then maybe here, and I think sometime here in the double O's, we didn't really worry about it until about June. But May 20th has historically kind of been the pivot point when the trade kind of sizes up new crop prospects. And I think that's probably where we're at now. This year, it may be a little sooner than that. But I've seen a lot of corn planted in the last half of May, or the last week of May in Illinois, and even the first week of June in Illinois, that's went on and had very strong yields. July and August weather is still very, very important. Now, I suppose it's going to get real serious, more serious probably, for the northwestern corn belt, planting corn, but they plant 80-day corn or 85-day corn. So still, they still may be able to plant corn in late May, early June, and still turn out to be a good crop if they don't have an early frost. So I think that's probably where the trade's at on corn. It's just, you know, they're not going to panic on May 2nd, and that's kind of where we're at. Now, next week when I talk to you, is, you know, we're going to be up at around May 9th, May 10th time frame. And if we don't have much planted by then and the weather forecasts are still wet, then I suppose the market may begin to get a little nervous on that. But we have plenty of old crop supply around. You know, we're harvesting a good crop in South America. So there's still... And our weekly export sales were kind of disappointing this week. So nobody's going to worry about any kind of shortages yet until they actually can visualize that actually happening. And I think it's just a shade early for that to visualize. Now, right at the moment, what the trade is viewing, though, is that these planting corn planting delays is likely to increase soybean acres, and that's why soybean prices are under pressure, but they're just modestly under pressure. I mean, we're not going down double digits every day, but we are coming under pressure because of that, and which is now eventually come May 20th, if we're not planting corn, then the trade's going to realize, well, we're not planting soybeans either. So then all of a sudden, then the trade mixes both of those together and say, well, we may both lose corn and soybean acres as well as overall yield potential. So, I mean, that's the way I would visualize it, at least looking having watched the market for 40 years or so.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm glad to have you on Commodity Week this afternoon. Talk to you at 3 o'clock. You and Bill Biederman from AgMarket.net and Brian Basting from Advanced Trading. Should be a good show.
Very well, Todd.
That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. I stopped by Emerson Nafziger's office on the South Farms yesterday afternoon. You can see the whole of that interview up on our website right now at willag.org. He's an Extension agronomist. I asked him about the delayed planting and the impact it has on spring crops like corn and soybeans.
The soil is not going to be in great shape when people first want to get started. We do have some corn planted. We planted about half of the variety trials, the corn hybrid trials. Then it gets cold and gets really wet, and then you say, should we have done that? Well, in 2017, we had a lot planted right before the big deluge set in, and it got cool end of April, first part of May, just like this year. That was one of those years when we got higher yields if we waited to plant till mid-May than if we planted there in late April before that heavy rainfall set in. So you just take your chances and you plant when you can. Our data are showing that we think yield losses as planting is delayed are a little bit less severe than they were. And I think the main reason for that is that our hybrids are so much better than they were. So if we think of it in those terms, first of all, we need enough growing season to get the crop mature. Well, in my 40 years, you know, we've seen corn planted late, we've seen corn planted early, and I have not, at least here in central Illinois, ever seen frost end the season before the crop was mature. So that's a fear that, you know, we really probably don't need to have. Although up in northern Illinois and in the northern half of the Corn Belt, people still have gotten in the habit a little bit of pushing some fairly late hybrids for that region. And a 110 or 112 day hybrid might need pretty much all the growing degree days you can get to get it mature. And if you get delayed in planting by 2 weeks or a month, you know, it can push it depending on how the fall goes. So there's always that. But here, for most of Illinois, we have a pretty good safety factor built in terms of what growing degree days there will be in a season. And last year, we all remember, with a very warm May, we had maturity coming on the end of August, and we didn't use much of the whole month of September to grow the crop. We used it to dry it down. So that's some safety that we've got on that. But on the idea of yield loss, and we show yield losses based on the data, the trials that we've run, they don't get to 20% loss until we get planting into June. And it starts out slowly. The first week of May is really a pretty good time to plant. And as it gets later than that, it starts to accelerate a little bit. But it's a fairly mild curve. And just about any time we plant in May, in some of our trials, we'd get almost our best yields. So that's, I think, because the stresses, in the mid-season stresses that we're always trying to avoid by planting early, don't take as much a toll on this crop as they did it with older hybrids. And I'm not going to say we're just going to get high yields and it doesn't matter what happens, because it does. But I think part of the message is that what happens in July and August is always much more important than what happens in May or April or when we get the crop planted.
Again, that's Emerson Nafziger, Extension agronomist from here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I spoke with him yesterday afternoon. The whole of the interview up on our website at willag.org. I wanted to know from him one other thing for sure. That's because most farmers have not turned a planting wheel yet this season. And I was wondering what his biggest concern might be at this point.
I'm a little bit concerned. Our recent research has been telling us that corn really needs some nitrogen there, particularly if the soils are cool. And many people are going to say, the first thing I want to do is plant, and we'll worry about nitrogen later. And that's become sort of standard advice. And I've given that advice myself, but I haven't given it in the last couple of years, because we've seen cases where a delay in putting on the first nitrogen on the corn crop can actually cut the yield potential. I don't want to be alarmist about it, but I think we need to find a way to put some nitrogen on this crop right at planting or right after planting. Is putting on using solution nitrogen as a herbicide carrier going to do the job? It can do the job if it gets down to where the seed is, but we're not putting on very high rates there. And if the soils are cool, then the mineralization is going to be delayed, and the soil, as we saw last year with cool April, the soil really didn't, you know, come forth with an abundance of nitrogen, at least until the soils had warmed up considerably. So we think there's a time fairly early in the life of the plant, corn plant, after it emerges, that it really needs to start finding nitrogen in the water that it's taking up, or it can have its yield compromised a little bit. I'd rather see if they can do it using RTK. I'd rather see people put nitrogen on close to the row, either right after or right before or sometime before they plant. And if it were possible to be out there putting nitrogen on, 8 inches off of the row before you plant, I think that'd be a good way to go. Normally, the concern about injury from anhydrous is a little bit overblown. We just know that it can be bad, and it was one time in our memory or two. But in the soils, particularly in the darker soils, and with the rainfall patterns we've had, it really has to get pretty dry for a while before ammonia will move back up. And I wouldn't be too concerned about that. If we can direct it in the same direction as the rows, in other words, most people want to put it on a slight angle. If we decide not to do that and can lay it, you know, even if it was between the rows. The reason I like it closer to the row than 15 inches is because the crop is going to reach it quicker. And so that would be one way to go about it. And if we could manage that at about the time we plant, I'd have less concern about the crop, you know, finding a time when it needs nitrogen and it's not finding it.
FYI, I did ask Emerson Nafziger about the anhydrous ammonia applied last fall and nitrogen leaching. Of course, it's happened, but he's not concerned about it at this point and would wait until there was some evidence of any deficiency in the crop before addressing that particular problem. Let's turn our attention now to the weather forecast. Mike Tenora is here from T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, let's get to it. We have some rain today. Will that continue?
Well, most of the rain beyond today will be in the southern growing areas. We will see some showers to the north and west, but the big chunk of rain, at least in the near term, is moving through today, and then we'll see another one tomorrow, a little bit further to the south. That takes us through the next few days, but our bigger concern is it is very likely for another large system to move through next week. We basically have two different areas of energy that are going to approach. One will come in from the northwest and the other from the southwest. They'll meet in Iowa, Minnesota, and Nebraska on Monday, develop thunderstorms there, and then those will steadily progress to the south and east throughout next week. So we're looking for another 1 to 2 inches of rain for most corn and soybean areas next week. And that's beyond the rain that we're talking about today and tomorrow.
Have you considered the open days that'll come after maybe the 12th of May?
We have a number of ways to look at this, but the one thing that we've been doing is we've been taking our proprietary data and trying to figure out what happened in 2013, because 2013 was a very late planted year, but then all of a sudden, in the week that ended May 19th of 2013, We planted 43% of the U.S. corn crop. So that possibility is still there that something could change and we could rapidly plant a lot of corn. But here's what happened in 2013. It basically stopped raining around May 4th or 5th, and it kept drying out and drying out and drying out, so that by the time we got to May 18th of 2013, only 10% of U.S. corn production had been wetter than normal over the 14-day period leading up to then. The way it stands right now, 68% of U.S. corn production was wetter than normal over the last 14 days. And unlike what we saw in 2013, where the proportion of wetness kept diminishing and diminishing and diminishing, we're going the other way. That number is going to stay high or even go up. So there's almost no chance that we're going to see that type of wetness coverage. It's real nice and low like we saw back in 2013.
And the implications are what?
Well, the main implication is that it tells you that you have very little chance of planting a huge proportion of the corn crop in 1 week. We saw that in 2013 because of this dry spell. The dry spell is not coming up, and our data is showing that even if it did stop raining right now, we'd have a challenge, but we know it's going to keep raining.
So we've talked about this week, next week, implications further out, but what about that week after next week? What do you see?
Well, at this point, it looks like we'll still see waves of energy moving through the central U.S. Temperatures will also be a little bit cooler. We're looking for a fairly extensive cool spell in the northern growing areas once some of that rain we already talked about moves through. After that, more than likely, again, those waves of energy will move through. And although we might not see widespread and heavy rainfall, it's pretty unlikely that it's going to suddenly turn warm and dry. It's more likely to be seasonable or cool with pockets of light rain and showers in varying areas at varying times. So we're not looking for some rapid change here later on in the month.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd. We'll talk next week.
And of course, is Mike Tenori. He's with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois. Helps us wrap up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at willag.org.